live and local,
across the city
and South Cambridgeshire.
This is Alex Elbrook.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Following on with our series looking at Cambridge's past, I'm pleased to be joined again by local historian Anthony Carpin. Hello, Anthony, and what are we going to talk about today?
Well, today, Alex, we're going to be looking at the expansion of Cambridge's boundaries, mindful that we've got this super election coming up, if I can call it that, where those of us who live in Cambridge City have 6 votes to cast on the 6th of May at the local elections. And for those of you who live outside of Cambridge but inside Cambridgeshire, it will be 3 votes that you have. The reason being is we have our city council elections where the whole council is up for election, so that means we've got up to 3 votes. We've got the county council election, and then we've also got the police and crime commissioner and the metro mayor as well on top of that. What I'm going to do today is to go back into history and look at how those boundaries have changed over time in terms of kind of like who and what has covered where, because the old borough of Cambridge used to be a lot smaller than the boundaries that we're used to today.
Oh, wow.
But the boundaries that we're used to today date back a very, very long time.
So where were these boundaries originally then?
Well, if we take Cambridge Borough as was, really in the early 1800s, it was absolutely tiny. Now, we had a population of around 9,000, as I've mentioned in previous sessions, but in those days, it did not include Chesterton, which was basically treated as a separate council, Chesterton Urban District, and it also didn't include the parishes of Trumpington and Cherry Hinton, and what was effectively all of the rural land as well back then between it. So it'll be like South Coleridge and Queen Edith's as well. So we're talking actually about a very, very small area.
Was Chesterton counted as sort of a separate, it was too far away then?
It was, because in those days we didn't have the Victoria Road Bridge or the Elizabeth Way Bridge. So you had to actually cross Magdalen Bridge and then walk all the way down to Old Chesterton, which was actually all the way down where St Andrew's Church is. So if in the days before cycles, motor cars and the railways, and you didn't have the nicest of roads, it could be a bit of a trek.
So when did it increase from that then?
Well, it wasn't really until the start of the 20th century, kind of as late as that, that things started changing. The county council was invented, if I can put it that way, by an act of parliament in 1888. But the boundaries for what was kind of known as Cambridge County Council are very similar to what is effectively Cambridge plus South Cambridgeshire today. So it's a much smaller county that we're dealing with. And there were proposals to include both Newmarket and Royston in that new county, but for party political reasons, it got turned down. So that's one of the reasons why they're both currently outside of Cambridgeshire, even though a place like Wisbeach today is seen to be inside it. Furthermore, in that time, it wasn't just Cambridge and South Cambridgeshire districts that sat within Cambridge County. We had these tiny rural districts such as Linton, Melbourne, Caxton and Errington. Chesterton had a rural district as well, Newmarket and Swavesey. And so it makes you think, how did they manage to administer what were just so many tiny rural district councils? There must have been a better way.
And what did the councils preside over? Like nowadays, we've got council tax and bin collections, etc. What was their remit then?
Well, that was something that increased throughout the 1800s through a series of acts of parliament. Because when the councils were first established in the modern councils that we would recognise today in 1835 under the Municipal Corporations Act, they didn't have that many responsibilities at all. But then as the MPs and ministers realised that the only way to really get to grips with some of the social problems of poverty and multiple deprivation was not leaving it to charities to do so, but to actually use this institution called the state. That was when they started passing new acts of parliament, new laws, basically saying local councils are also responsible for schools and sewerage and town planning later on, housing, slum clearances, and they were added piecemeal by individual acts of parliament. So we fast forward to the first real extension, which is in 1911. Now, it was also at a time when the people of Cambridge, in particular some of the councillors, thought, well, we don't want to be part of this county setup. We want to be this single council which covers everything. And so there was quite a political spat, which borough councillors lost in the end, because Parliament wouldn't sanction Cambridge becoming this single council. And it was repeated again in the 1930s and in the 1960s, and also even to this present day, it's still a debate. Should the city of Cambridge, whether on existing or enlarged boundaries, be a single council, or should we have this two-tier setup? And so the First Order in 1911 extended the borders of Cambridge southwards, all the way to Long Road, all the way to Pern Road in the east, and then it also incorporated Chesterton, both the eastern side and also the western side, just slightly larger boundaries, even though the application that was made was actually for more land. Parliament wouldn't give Cambridge that more land.
So that's a lot bigger than the original then. So that was, what, at least doubling the original?
Absolutely, which also makes it an interesting job for statisticians and historians. What do you consider to be the municipal boundaries of Cambridge? Because if they're shifting over time, then it makes things interesting when you're comparing populations. At what points do you include or exclude Trumpington and Cherryhinton and Chesterton? So when you're comparing populations in the year 1911, you suddenly get this jump because you're now including Chesterton, Cherryhinton and Trumpington parishes.
And did that stay then till present day, or has that changed since?
No, it didn't. It changed again in 1934. So we're talking less than a quarter of a century later. And another piece of legislation was passed. This was the Cambridge Extension Order, 1934. Now, one of the things to remember here is that all of these would have required ministerial sanction under an existing Act of Parliament, because when it says order, it means order in council, and this is privy councillors, i.e. cabinet level ministers, who would have got together and signed off these proposals. Now, the area applied for by Cambridge was basically the borders that we're familiar with now, plus the villages of Impington, Histon, Girton, Coton, Great Shelford, Little Shelford and Stapleford.
So further out now than earlier.
Correct. Now, the thing to consider with that is, had ministers approved of that northwestward and southeastward expansion, how would that have changed the future development of Cambridge? So would we have seen, for example, far more house building much earlier in South Cambridge, basically where Braddenbrooke's is? Now, one of the reasons for raising it here is because we've now got a number of developments that, to, if I can put it this way, the naked eye, look like they are in Cambridge City, but in reality, they're not, as far as local government is concerned. Now, in our neck of the woods in South Cambridge, the eastern edge of Cherryhinton Village is outside of Cambridge City. It sits within both South Cambridgeshire and also the parliamentary constituency of South East Cambridgeshire. You've also got Orchard Park in the northwest, which sits just outside the city boundaries, and also, if I recall correctly, inside South Cams, but I may need correcting on that. And then obviously the developments in Queen Edith's and Trumpington, some of those sit outside of the Cambridge parliamentary constituency, and some of the new planned ones again will sit outside the municipal boundaries. So the question then is, how do you, as a local council, manage these areas that are sitting just outside your boundaries, your administration? And obviously for South Cambridgeshire District Council, the challenge that they've always had is there's this big void sitting in the middle of the donut, which they've never really been able to influence because of the differences party politically and historically. So one of the issues that has been raised in previous elections but never really debated is, well, isn't it time now to start discussing and debating whether Cambridge City should expand its municipal boundaries or even go the whole hog and have a single council perhaps for Cambridge and South Cams?
Very interesting. And this is all going to be, I'm sure, up for discussion in the elections all coming up on the 6th of May.
Yeah, but ultimately ultimately it's up to the electorate really to decide what the issues are. Now there's this mindful obviously of the neutrality restrictions that all broadcasters have to abide by. There's a voluntary organisation called the Democracy Club, which basically puts in all of the information provided by the candidates from elections all over the country, and it enables people to find out who is standing in their local areas simply by typing in their postcode.
Oh, very
and
good.
So the website is whocanivotefor, that's F-O-R, .co.uk. And all that people have to do is just type in their postcodes, and the names of the candidates and their social media accounts and their manifestos and videos all come up. So it enables people to put questions to all of the candidates and read what they have to say and potentially cast a more informed vote based on what they've read and what they've heard, rather than just going to the ballot box without really knowing other than what they may have seen in the news.
Oh, that's great. Thank you very much for that, Anthony. That's really useful for all of us. Another really interesting insight into how we've got to where we are in Cambridge today, and I look forward to speaking to you again next month.
Okay, thank you.
Cambridge 105 Radio.